Welcome to this subscriber-only audio guide from Magic Towns Italy. Each guide is built using hundreds of original data points and real feedback from people who've made the move. Thanks for supporting our work and enjoy the journey.
Welcome, listeners, to this Magic Towns Italy premium audio guide for Catania, aimed at expats and retirees. For anyone dreaming of sun-drenched piazzas and a life steeped in history, we're taking a close look today at a real gem in Italy.
That's right. Often called a magic town, which is quite evocative, isn't it?
It really is. It's a place that definitely sparks the imagination if you're considering a move abroad.
Exactly. And well, we've gathered a whole load of information to try and give you a really vivid picture of what it's actually like to live there.
Yeah, forget the glossy brochures. Our aim is to give you the kind of insights you need to understand the rhythm of daily life in Catania.
Precisely.
And what immediately strikes you, I think, is Catania's just incredible setting. Picture this, a city right there on Sicily's eastern coast, practically in the shadow of Mount Etna.
That massive, still active volcano. Yeah. Europe's tallest. It sits sort of midway between Messina and Syracuse, looking out over the Ionian Sea. It's quite a view.
And the location isn't just picturesque, though.
It's fundamental to Catania's whole story. It was founded by Greek settlers way, way back in 729 BC from Naxos, actually. Well, that's ancient. And since then, it's been this cultural melting pot for millennia. You've got Romans, Byzantines, Arabs, Normans, you name it. Each civilization has left a really indelible mark.
So living there means you're constantly bumping into history.
Pretty much. You might be walking over a Roman road without even realizing, or see a Norman archway tucked away. It's not just background noise. It genuinely shapes the city's character.
I get that. It even served as the capital of the Kingdom of Sicily under Aragonese rule, which, well, that tells you something about its historical importance.
Absolutely. And get this, it's home to Sicily's oldest university, founded in 1434.
1434, that's incredible. That's centuries of intellectual tradition just woven into the city.
It certainly suggests a deep-rooted appreciation for learning, for culture. But you really can't talk about Catania without acknowledging the power, the presence of Mount Etna.
Looming over everything.
Exactly. The city has faced numerous challenges, from eruptions and earthquakes, most notably the big eruption in 1669, and then devastating earthquakes in 1169, and again in 1693.
So that constant presence of Etna, it's not just visually stunning.
Definitely. It's a constant reminder of the forces that have shaped this land and its people. It seems to foster this unique blend of resilience, but also a real respect for nature.
It's amazing how the people have just rebuilt and reimagined their city time and time again. That spirit must be so evident.
It really is, especially in the architecture. The Baroque City Center, which is now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, part of the Val di Noto group, is a testament to that strength.
Right, that Baroque rebuild.
Yeah, and plus Catania was recognized more recently in 2016 for its exceptional Art Nouveau architecture. It got the title Best Liberty City.
So it's not just Baroque, there's Art Nouveau too. These accolades really underscore the kind of architectural tapestry you'll find. And here's a fascinating little tidbit to get us started. Arab geographers once called Catania Medinet al-Fil,
which means
the city of the elephant.
Is there an elephant statue?
There is, the Fontana della Fonte in Piazza Duomo, with an ancient lava stone elephant carrying an Egyptian obelisk. It's the city's symbol. But the name itself hints at this long, intriguing past.
Okay, I love that. So let's really dive deeper now into what life is actually like day to day in Catania. What kind of rhythms, what experiences can someone moving there really expect?
Well, like we touched on, that rich history is just palpable. Imagine strolling through the city and encountering the remains of the Roman theater or the amphitheater.
Are they just ruins or?
No, that's the thing. They're not just fenced off relics. They're integrated into the modern urban landscape. You might even find that the foundations of some current buildings actually hint back to the Greek colonization period.
So it's not just about visiting ancient sites, it's about living amongst them. That's quite different.
It really is. And the medieval period sounds equally influential. After the fall of Rome, the Ostrogoths actually used stones from the Roman amphitheater to reconstruct the city walls.
Wow, recycling Roman history.
Kind of. Then came Byzantine and Arab rule, followed by the Normans under Roger I. They established a whole new civil and ecclesiastical structure, really setting the stage for different kind of Catania.
And then the Aragonese made it their capital. That must have had a lasting impact.
Oh, a significant one. It really established Catania as a major political and cultural center. And while power later shifted through Spanish, Savoyard, Austrian, and Bourbon rule, the city retained that prestige.
So then came the late 17th century.
Right.
And that brought profound changes, those major natural disasters we mentioned. The 1669 eruption and the 1693 earthquake. That's when the distinctive Baroque architecture really took hold, wasn't it?
While Castello Orsino largely withstood the earthquake, much of the city had to be rebuilt. Architects like Giovanni Battista Vaccarini were absolutely central. He didn't just design iconic buildings. He played a key role in replanning the city's layout after the devastation.
So Catania is a city that's been shaped and reshaped by humans and by sheer force of nature.
And this resilience wasn't just about rebuilding structures. Catania also played a notable role in the Risorgimento, the unification of Italy, which is part of why...
Oh, really?
Yeah. It earned a gold medal for its heroic actions in 1848. That speaks to a strong sense of civic pride that I think you'll still find today.
That's fascinating. Okay, if you're seriously considering a move, you'll definitely want to experience the vibrancy of modern Catanian life. What about things like the markets, the social scene?
Ah, the markets, yes. They are an absolute sensory experience. The Piscaria Fish Market, for instance, is an absolute must-see. What's it like?
Imagine incredibly lively, fresh seafood, vibrant colors, the calls of the vendors. It's intense in a good way. Then you have the Feraoluni in Piazza Carlo Alberto. That roughly translates to the Monday Fair. And there's a fantastic flea market near the port every Sunday.
So lots of opportunities to browse and soak up the atmosphere.
Definitely. For someone used to more organized Western markets, the energy and bustle of a Catanian market can be quite a unique experience. There's a real buzz.
It sounds like there's always something going on.
Absolutely. And throughout the week, you'll find smaller, more specialized markets too, like the bric-a-brac market under the arches near Villa Pacini on Sundays and a Friday market in Piazza Vicere.
Or in the evenings, what's the social life like?
As evening approaches, the social life really comes alive. It tends to center around Piazza Duomo, Piazza Università, and Piazza Vincenzo Bellini, where the Teatro Massimo is.
So lots of squares, piazzas.
Catania has this long-standing tradition of socializing in its bars and trattorias. And, oh, you have to know about the kioski.
Chioshi?
They're charming little kiosks, often ornate, serving incredibly refreshing summer drinks. Things like lemon seltzer with salt sounds unusual, but it's amazing. And mandarino al limone, mandarin and lemon.
Sounds delicious.
They're a real Catanian institution, possibly dating back to the late 19th century. may be linked to the naturally fizzy water they used to get from Lake Nafia.
Wow, local fizzy water. Those drinks sound like the perfect antidote to a warm Sicilian day. And what about the food beyond the drinks?
Oh, the culinary scene is, as you'd expect, superb.
Think hearty, flavorful dishes. You've got pasta alla norma, that's aubergines, tomato salted ricotta, a classic Sicilian dish.
Absolutely.
Then sardè a beccafico, stuffed sardines, parmigiana, and of course, arancini everywhere, plus crispelle, little fried dough balls, sometimes sweet, sometimes savory.
Okay, stop. You're making me hungry. Arancini. And for those with a sweet tooth, there are delights like crispelle di riso, sweet rice fritters, torta Savoia, lots of delicious things. The emphasis is always on fresh local ingredients.
My mouth is watering already. Now, Catania's appeal surely goes beyond just food and markets, doesn't it? There's a strong sense of cultural identity.
Absolutely. And that's deeply intertwined with its traditions and its folklore. It's quite fascinating. You'll actually see depictions of local legends on the lampposts in Piazza dell'Università. Figures like Colapesi, the P brothers, Gamazita and Uzeta.
Okay, you have to tell me about those. Colapesi?
Colapesi is the fish boy legend, said to hold up one of Sicily's supporting columns underwater. The P brothers famously saved their parents from an Etna eruption, carrying them on their shoulders. Gamazita is a story of virtue and resistance against an unwanted suitor. And Uzeta is a local hero, a knight who fought Saracen invaders.
Legends of people holding up Sicily from the depths. Selfless brothers saving their family from lava. They sound truly memorable. You can see why they'd put them on lampposts. You'll find other tales connected to places like Agna, even Mount Etna itself. There are some fascinating stories linking Etna to King Arthur.
King Arthur in Sicily? Okay, now you've really got my attention.
Indeed. It's perhaps linked to the Norman period, but it adds another layer of mystique. And beyond folklore, Catania boasts a really vibrant cultural scene.
Music, arts?
Definitely. It's the birthplace of Vincenzo Bellini, a truly iconic opera composer. His presence is huge there.
Bellini, of course.
Music is deeply rooted here. There was a flourishing of dialect songs in the 20th century. And interestingly, in the 1990s, Catania even got the nickname the Seattle of the South.
Seattle of the South. Seriously? Like grunge music?
Not exactly grunge, but it reflects a period of raw energy and creativity in the local rock and alternative scene. That comparison points to that spirit.
That's unexpected. So live music is a significant part of the cultural landscape.
It has been and it continues to be. Beyond that, you have the magnificent Teatro Massimo for opera and classical music and a remarkable number of other active theaters. Catania actually has a very high density of theaters for its size. It also has a history with filmmaking. Visconti's famous film La Terra Trema was set near Catania using local non-actors. And there were early 20th century film production companies based there. It's a city with a strong artistic pulse.
So a real hub for the arts. What about museums and opportunities for learning? You mentioned the university.
There's plenty to explore on that front too. You'll find numerous museums. The Museo Civico at Castello Ursino is a major one. The Museo di Santa Gata and a contemporary art museum called MAC, Museo Arte Contemporanea Catania.
And of course, the University of Catania.
It brings a youthful energy to the city. There's also the Conservatorio Vincenzo Bellini for music, plus important libraries.
So it's a city that clearly values both its past and its intellectual development.
All of this unfolds with that ever-present backdrop of Mount Etna.
Always there.
Etna isn't just a scenic backdrop. It profoundly influences the landscape, the local culture, even the fertile soil for agriculture, where the original city nucleus was located, is actually the result of a prehistoric Etna eruption. So the volcano is deeply intertwined with the city's very origins.
Wow. So the volcano was woven into the foundations of the city, both literally and figuratively.
I'd say that's a good way to put it.
You know, for those considering a move, practicalities like housing are obviously key. What can you tell us about that?
Housing. Geographically, the area ranges quite a bit. It's flat in the south and southeast, but mountainous toward the north because of Etna's slopes. What's interesting is there seems to be a trend of counter-urbanization happening. People are moving from the main city of Catania out to a ring of smaller towns nearby. So Catania's own population has actually seen a decrease from its peak.
That's a pattern we see in many established urban areas, isn't it? So what kind of housing options might an expat encounter?
You can expect many apartments with unique historical features right in the city center. More modern options are available on the outskirts and definitely in those surrounding towns. You need to explore different areas. Another crucial aspect for anyone moving abroad is healthcare. What's the situation there?
Healthcare is obviously a top priority. It's essential to research the Italian national health system, the Servizio Sanitario Nazionale, and how it operates in Sicily, and also look into private options in Catania, if that's something you'd consider.
Understood. Let's move on to infrastructure then. How does Catania connect both within itself and to the wider world?
Catania seems pretty well developed in terms of transport connections. It's got the Tangenziale, a ring road connecting it to the main Sicilian highways.
So getting around the island by car seems quite feasible.
Driving to other parts of Sicily should be relatively straightforward.
What about public transport within the city itself? That can make a huge difference to daily life.
Catania has the distinction of being the only city in Sicily with a metro system.
Metro in Sicily?
Yes. Covering a good part of the city center. And there are planned extensions to the airport and out toward Mister Bianco, a nearby town.
An airport link by metro would be huge.
Absolutely. That will significantly enhance connectivity for residents. It's a real advantage compared to other Sicilian cities.
What other transport options are there?
There's the main railway station, Catania Centrale, with lines connecting the city to other parts of Italy. There's also a planned urban railway bypass with several new stations serving different parts of the city and another direct link to the airport. Catania also has a commercial and tourist port and smaller harbors.
And the airport itself, how significant is it?
Very significant. The Vincenzo Bellini Airport, also known as Catania Fontana Rosa, is actually the fifth busiest airport in Italy and the main airport for all of Sicily.
That level of connectivity is definitely a significant advantage for expats.
Our sources do mention some urban mobility issues. There's a bus network which covers a wide area, but like buses in many cities, it can sometimes face delays. There are bus rapid transit that are faster, and some bike paths, though there's room for further development.
Good to have that balanced picture. The metro development sounds key. What about telecommunications, internet, and such?
Catania actually plays an important role here. It serves as a landing point for several major Mediterranean submarine fiber optic cables, connecting the region to Europe, the Middle East, and beyond. So in terms of backbone internet connectivity, Catania is very well positioned.
That highlights Catania's place, not just historically, but in the modern digital network too. Now let's talk about something that's always top of mind. Let's touch on the climate. That's a huge factor.
Catania enjoys a Mediterranean climate with subtropical and some continental influences, Probably because of Etna.
So what does that mean in practice? Like rain, sunshine? You can expect average annual rainfall of around 450 to 550 millimeters, which isn't particularly high. Summers are generally very dry, and the rainiest season tends to be autumn.
Temperatures, mild winters, hot summers. Is that the general picture?
Generally mild winters, yes, although you can get significant temperature variations between day and night. Snow is rare in the city itself because Mount Etna creates an orographic shadow, blocking moisture that would otherwise fall as snow lower down.
Interesting.
Occasional flurries do happen, and heavier snowfall is common higher up the volcano. The record low in the city was -7 degrees Celsius in 1962.
So it can get cold. What about summers?
Summers are long and hot, sometimes with high humidity, especially near the coast. Inland areas get even hotter. The record high was 47.6 degrees Celsius in July 2023.
Anyone considering a move needs to be prepared for those intense summer temperatures. Air conditioning would be essential. Based on everything we've discussed, the history, the lifestyle, the practicalities, the volcano, what kind of person might truly thrive?
Catania seems like an excellent fit for someone who appreciates living in a city with a rich, tangible history and vibrant cultural traditions where the past feels present.
Right, someone who values that depth.
Also, if you enjoy an active outdoor lifestyle, exploring bustling markets, experiencing lively nightlife, and having easy access to both the coastline and Mount Etna for hiking, Catania could be wonderful.
So someone who likes to immerse themselves in the local atmosphere and enjoys being out and about.
Exactly. It also appeals to those who value good connectivity. Having that major international airport is a huge plus. And the developing public transport, especially the metro, is promising. You'd need to be comfortable with the Mediterranean climate, embracing mild winters and, crucially, long, hot summers.
And maybe someone who doesn't mind a bit of energy.
Perhaps most importantly, it's a place for individuals who appreciate that unique blend of historical charm and a dynamic, sometimes a little chaotic, urban environment. It definitely has a pulse. If you're drawn to the arts, to music, to a lively social scene, and if you appreciate a strong sense of local identity and those deeply rooted traditions.
Okay, we've explored Catania from its ancient origins right through to its modern day appeal for potential expats.
A city that uniquely combines a profound sense of history, the breathtaking presence of Mount Etna, and a vibrant, resilient culture shaped by centuries of change and challenge. We hope this has provided a valuable initial understanding of what life in Catania might feel like. Ultimately, it presents a compelling picture for a certain kind of expat, someone drawn to those layers of history, the vibrant energy of a proper Sicilian city, and the majestic, sometimes challenging presence of Europe's most active volcano right on your doorstep.
Considering Catania's long history of reinvention, particularly after natural disasters, and its current dynamic landscape, what might its future hold as a magic town for a new generation of international residents? And on a more personal note, how might your own story intertwine with Catania's ongoing and fascinating narrative? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this Magic Towns Italy audio guide. If you found it helpful, don't forget, you've got access to dozens more guides, plus full town filters, insider data, and our AI assistant to help you explore further. See you in the next episode.